In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, then why would you boast as if somehow this was your doing? Why would you say God helps those who help themselves when that is found nowhere in the Scriptures? It is a demonic lie to insert us in the place of God. Did you choose to be born in 21st century America instead of 8th century Europe? Did you choose to have the particular intellectual or physical gifts? Did you even choose to be born a man or a woman? Did you choose to not have chronic ailments, cancer, genetic disease, to need to wear eyeglasses, or to use a cane or a walker? Did you choose to age gracefully? We must admit that all we have because we have received from God. And if you can bear it, that includes your walker, your genetic disease, your cancer, your chronic ailments, and so forth. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. To some he gives much, to others he gives less. To some he gives great health, to others he gives sickness. To some he gives an inordinate amount of riches, multi-billionaires. And we have no right to take what is theirs and to make it our own. We call that stealing. And to others he gives far less. Most fall somewhere in the middle. So this account may have been an actual story or a parable. Either way, it does not matter, for the rich man and Lazarus are concrete images of your heart. How do you view the things that God has given to you? So how did the rich man receive his gifts from God? He made them his idol. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. But do not conflate riches with wickedness. Abraham was far more rich than this man was. And he is the man we are to emulate. Money is not the problem. One person having all the money is not the problem. The love of money is the root of the problem. The heart is the problem. The heart loves the gift and not the giver. The heart wants to say, because my life is going well, therefore God must love me. The love of wealth breeds a false sense of security before God. It's hard to believe that we are exiles in this world when we can buy houses and create communities. It's hard to believe that we are strangers when everything is going according to our plans and we enjoy it. It is hard to believe that we are beggars before God when money affords us so many opportunities. Remember, the rich man is a concrete image of the heart. Riches are not the problem. It's how you view them that is the problem. So even a poor man may be this rich man in his heart. Even a poor man may have an idol of riches in his heart. And so this rich man is the poor man whose whole life goal is to become well off. It is the young adult who wants that house on top of the hill. It is the teenager who does not care about his duty to others, but who cares only about making himself happy. It is the middle-aged who stockpiles his retirement fund so that way he can enjoy life instead of work. It is the family who just has to go on a vacation every year because the world is so beautiful. None of those things are wrong in and of themselves, but how we perceive them makes them wrong. How easily it is to crowd out faith with the idol of riches. How easy it is to have a false sense of security that everything in life is great because my bottom line is good. And so we work hard to achieve our dreams and our goals and our successes. Again, working hard is not the problem. but our goal is money, so that we may have enough to do the things we want to do. How easy it is for our hearts to be like this rich man's. We must all imitate Lazarus. Whether rich or poor, whether healthy or sick, whether well-fed or starving, whether covered in sores or not, we must all confess that we are beggars. In other words, all that we have received from God. Why must we confess that we are beggars? Because hell is real. And many people are going there. Christ died for them all. He shed his blood to be the atoning sacrifice for the whole world, not just for us. And yet many reject his gracious gift. They would rather love this earth than the gift of eternal life. So many enter a church to visit but never return. Their life is fine without it. They have all they need in their accounts and at home. Not all will believe the scriptures as preached to them, especially this teaching of hell. For it is not evil, wicked, and immoral people that go to hell, but it's those whose hearts are tied to this world. Not all who join a church will stay in a church. Hell is real, and God wants you to escape its torment. And so he warns you beforehand so you know where the dangers are and you may avoid them. There are no second chances. A great chasm has been fixed. As soon as man dies, he is either in heaven or hell. His fate is sealed. Locked outside of the goodness of God's presence, the rich man endures a fire that burns but never destroys, and a worm that eats but never devours. There is no escape. Constant tears, constant pain, constant sorrow, constant stress, constant worrying of what is coming next. No company, no friends, no hand to hold even, or shoulder to cry on, all alone. Because he loved riches and this life more than God. And his heart was tied to this world more than God. So beware of the love of riches. When your accounts swell, remember that you have received it. When your body is healthy and strong, remember you have received it. When you are able to travel and see beautiful sights, remember you have received it. When you are young and vibrant and able even to stockpile retirement, remember you have received it. You are beggars. God must be your first love, and everything else must come second. For those who love this world, this is as good as it gets, where bombs destroy and where man brings death and destruction. But for those who love God, this is as bad as it gets, where we see beautiful sunsets, soaring trees, and hear the laughter of children. So set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated. He ascended so that you would have hope for eternal life and long to be with him. Your loved ones precede you. Those who have died in the faith have gone before you because God wants you to desire to be with them where he is. Even the hardships and the lonelinesses that you endure, though not as deep as Lazarus, still deepen within us a desire to be free, a relief from pain, from sadness, from tears, from walkers and canes and hospitals. We want to be free from the temptation even to love money. So God gives all, so we set our mind on things above and not simply on earthly things. Job is right. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and he does all those things to remind us that we are beggars who have nothing to give to God and everything to receive from God, that we would escape the fires of hell and live in the mansions of heaven. Thus he gives us chiefly Moses and the prophets. Let us hear them. Let us hear the holy scriptures, for apart from them no man can be saved. These are they that testify of Christ. They show the forgiveness and the love that Christ has won. They show the peace that surpasses all human understanding and the great riches that is Christ's. And yet he who was rich became poor for us, so that in him we might have the riches of God. All that the Father gave to Jesus, he willingly received. A life of poverty. He had not even a pillow on which to lay his head. 40 days without food, still he received it without grumbling and complaining, because his goal was to do the very will of God, not to try to make his life better. And then he received a cross and sores and loneliness and was surrounded by dogs. He is the true Lazarus. And yet in that suffering, we find life and peace and hope and joy. For not once did he grumble or complain. Not once did he throw off, nor did he come down from the cross to assert his own desires. But he received what the Lord gave, confident that good things were to come. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He died and was crucified and was raised so that you might be justified, so that you who are poor beggars might through that word receive the riches of heaven. And so you will not be left at heaven's gates on the outside, wondering what is going in, longing for a drop of cool water. But you will be ushered inside by the angels themselves to sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with Lazarus, and all who have confessed Christ. To sit and to feast and to rejoice with Christ, a foretaste of which you enjoy here at this altar. Riches can give you a false sense of security, that everything is good because my life seems easy. The word will not give you that false sense of security. Through that word you are saved. Through that word you recognize what you are, a beggar. And through that word you see who your God is, a savior. So through faith you receive all that the Lord gives, whether good or bad, whether pleasant or difficult. Through faith you receive all the gifts of God, confident that not even poverty, sores, or death are permanent. You know the word of God, and they're all given to you to remind you that you are a beggar and you have a home with God in heaven. Thus you can rejoice. You can live in love toward one another. You can use the gifts you have received in order to be a blessing to those around you. So rejoice, for you have a God who died for you, and that God is good. Rejoice, even though you are poor beggars, for you have the word of God, and your heart is captive to that word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.